Welcome to The Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well-informed. Today, we're taking a deep dive into a really interesting Florida appellate case, Chandler v. City of Sanford. It's a 2013 decision.
That's right, from the 5th District Court of Appeal.
And it digs into a critical question in open government law, something that comes up surprisingly often. When you have multiple government agencies involved, who's actually responsible for the public record? You know, who holds the bag?
Yeah, who's on the hook?
Exactly. The core question the court tackled was pretty sharp. Can one government body assert a public records exemption for another agency? Or maybe just because another agency told them to?
It sounds simple, but the implications are huge for transparency, right? And the court's answer here really reinforces some fundamental principles.
It does, and we're going to really unpack that for you today.
What's really key here, I think, is how this case hammers home just how strong Florida's public records law is. We often hear the phrase virtually unfettered access, and this case shows what that means in practice, especially when agencies interact. Think about high-profile situations. That's where this really gets tested.
And speaking of high-profile, this case didn't happen in a vacuum. It's connected to the George Zimmerman criminal prosecution, which, as you'll remember, brought just massive public scrutiny. A flood of records requests hit all sorts of local government bodies.
Yeah, it really set the stage. High stakes all around.
Okay, so let's set the scene. The person bringing the case, the appellant, was Robert Chandler. On May 24th, 2012, he sends an electronic request. Pretty standard stuff.
Right. To the City of Sanford Police Department, specifically their volunteer program coordinator.
And what he wanted was an original copy of an email from August 31st, 2011, sent by that coordinator to George Zimmerman,
who at that point was a former neighborhood watch volunteer for them.
Yeah, the context here is absolutely crucial, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When Chandler made that request, May 2012, Mr. Zimmerman was already a defendant. The criminal investigation and prosecution linked to the shooting death of Trayvon Martin back in February 2012 was well underway.
And the media attention was intense.
Widespread national media attention, as the court put it. So every record, every interaction involving Zimmerman was under a microscope. Yeah. And importantly, the governor had actually stepped in.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, he directed that the whole investigation and prosecution be transferred, moved it from the local state attorney's office, the 18th Circuit, over to the state attorney for the 4th Judicial Circuit.
And that transfer, that directive, is really central to the city's argument later on, isn't it?
It's everything to their defense. It directly leads to this whole question of who's actually responsible for the records.
Okay, so Chandler sends his request. You can imagine the city's under a lot of pressure. What happens next?
Well, he follows up, makes a phone call the next day, May 25th. Then, around June 2nd, he's talking to the city attorney and a police captain.
So, bit of back and forth.
Yeah. And then finally, June 6th, which is, what, 11 days after his first request, the city tells him, okay, we're reviewing it.
11 days just to say they're reviewing it?
Okay. Which, you know, prompts Chandler's next move. He seems to have run out of patience.
Yeah.
So June 14th, he files a lawsuit.
On his own?
Yep, per se, representing himself. He files a petition for a writ of mandamus, basically asking the court to order the city to produce the record.
Okay, so he's serious.
He is. Now, interestingly, about a week later, June 21st, the city does produce some emails from that date, August 31st, 2011.
Okay. So, problem solved.
Not quite. There were a couple of catches. First, they were Adobe PDFs, not the original email format.
Right. And second,
they redacted Mr. Zimmerman's email address. And significantly, when they sent these PDFs, the city hadn't even been officially served with Chandler's lawsuit yet.
Hmm. So Chandler gets these redacted PDFs. He's not happy, I take it.
Not at all. He raises two main objections. First, he says the city had no right to black out Zimmerman's email address.
Yep.
And second, and this is a big one for anyone dealing with records, he argued they weren't produced in their normally maintained format. He wanted the original file, not a PDF that you can't easily edit or search in the same way.
Right, the format matters.
Yeah.
So what was the city's explanation for only providing redacted PDFs?
This is where it gets legally interesting. The city basically threw up its hands. They said, look, we can't give you the original unredacted email.
Can't or won't.
They claimed they couldn't, their reason. A direct order, a directive from the state attorney's office. The Fourth Circuit one that took over the case.
The ones the governor appointed.
Exactly. The city explained that all their records related to Zimmerman had been handed over to that state attorney's office for the criminal investigation.
Okay.
And the city argued It was the state attorney who reviewed everything, decided what needed to be redacted, and then sent the records back to the city as PDFs, specifically for responding to public records requests like Chandler's.
So the city's argument is essentially, our hands are tied. The state attorney controls these records now. They redacted them. We're just passing along what they gave us.
Precisely. They argued they lacked the authority to release the originals because of that state attorney directive and the active investigation.
Okay, so this lands in front of the trial court.
Yeah.
What did the judge make of this argument?
Well, they held a status hearing, August 10th, 2012. The city attorney apparently wasn't even sure if the city still had the original emails.
Really?
Yeah, and they just kept pointing to the state attorney's directive. So the trial court, without even holding an evidentiary hearing to really dig into the facts,
just dismissed the case.
Dismissed Chandler's petition against the city. The judge essentially agreed with the city's logic, found that the state attorney, not the city, was the one Chandler should be going after.
So the judge told Chandler, you're suing the wrong people, go sue the state attorney.
Pretty much. Advised him to pursue his remedy against the state attorney, since they were the ones who did the redacting and told the city how to release the records.
Wow. Okay, so Chandler appeals this dismissal.
He does. And that takes us to the Fifth District Court of Appeal. Now, when an appellate court reviews a dismissal like this, the standard is de novo.
Meaning they look at it completely fresh, right? No deference to the trial judge's legal reasoning.
Exactly. A clean slate review of the legal issues. It's a tougher standard for the dismissal to survive.
And the foundation for all public records cases in Florida is, of course, the Constitution.
Absolutely. Article 1, Section 24, it's incredibly broad. It guarantees public access to any public record made or received in connection with the official business of any public body, officer, or employee of the state.
Any record made or received, that covers a lot.
It really does. And Florida courts have consistently said this right is virtually unfettered. Exemptions exist, sure, but they have to be specific, stated in law, and they're always interpreted narrowly.
And the presumption is always in favor of openness.
Always. Liberally construed in favor of access. You see this reinforced in cases like Ramsey Deming's NCAA v. Associated Press. The courts talk about the aggressive nature of the public's right to inspect records here.
Okay, so against that backdrop, the appellate court looks at Chandler's situation. What legal precedent did they focus on?
They really honed in on a case called Tober v. Sanchez, and Tober laid down a really clear marker.
Which was?
That a government agency cannot dodge a public records request just by handing its records over to some other agency. You can't just pass the buck physically to avoid your legal responsibility.
So transferring custody doesn't transfer the legal obligation.
Exactly. The Tober court put it very bluntly. They said, and this is a quote worth hearing, to permit an agency head to avoid his responsibility simply by transferring documents to another agency or office would violate the stated intent of the Public Records Act.
As well as the rule that a statute enacted for the benefit of the public is to be accorded a liberal construction.
Wow, that's pretty direct.
It is. No bureaucratic shell games allowed, essentially. So how did the 5th DCA apply that Tober principle directly to the city of Sanford situation?
Straightforwardly. The city claimed it was acting under a directive from the state attorney part of the executive branch, telling them not to produce the original unredacted email.
Right.
But the court said, nope. As a matter of law, they found, the city remained the governmental entity responsible for the public records. Full stop.
Even though they were caught between the state attorney's directive and Chandler's request?
Yes. The court actually acknowledged that. They expressed sympathy, saying the city was in a proverbial rock in a hard place.
Kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Sort of. But crucially, the court stressed that being in a tough spot doesn't excuse you from your legal duties under the Public Records Act.
So the sympathy is there, but the legal responsibility doesn't shift.
Precisely. The difficulty of the situation doesn't change the fundamental obligation. The responsibility stays with the agency that made or received the record in the first place.
That's a really important point. It prevents agencies from, you know, maybe coordinating to shield records by just moving them around.
It's a vital safeguard. Imagine a complex investigation with multiple agencies. If they could just shuffle records back and forth to avoid disclosure, the public's right to know would be meaningless. This ruling ensures that accountability stays put.
So, bottom line, what was the Fifth District Court of Appeals' final decision?
Very clear. The trial court made a mistake. It erred when it dismissed Chandler's petition against the city.
The dismissal was wrong.
Yes. And the core legal answer is unambiguous. One government entity cannot assert a public records exemption for another, or just because another told them to. If it's your record, it's your responsibility to handle the request and any potential exemptions.
Accountability stays home, essentially.
That's a good way to put it.
Now, did the appellate court weigh in on the other issues, like whether the email address should have been redacted, or the delays, or the PDF versus original format?
No, they specifically didn't. They were very careful to limit their ruling just to that threshold question: who is responsible? They declined to address the merits of the potential exemption for the email address, the timeliness issue, or the format question.
So those issues would potentially need to be addressed back at the trial court level.
Exactly. The appellate court's decision was solely about who had to address them.
Okay, so the final outcome.
The trial court's order dismissing the case was vacated, wiped off the books, and the case was remanded, sent back down to the trial court for further proceedings.
But this time, with the clear instruction that the city of Sanford is the proper party and is responsible for responding to Chandler's request regarding its own records.
That's right. The city couldn't point the finger at the state attorney anymore, at least not as a reason to avoid responsibility entirely.
So the big takeaway for anyone listening, especially those working in or dealing with government agencies in Florida, seems pretty stark.
I think so. Even if you transfer a record, even if another agency reviews it or tells you what to do with it, you, the agency that originally made or received that record, you remain legally responsible for responding to public records requests for it.
No passing the buck.
No passing the buck. Physically moving a file doesn't move the legal duty.
What are the broader implications here for open government?
Well, it strongly reinforces just how robust public access is supposed to be in Florida. It prevents citizens from getting lost in some bureaucratic maze, bounced between agencies trying to figure out who actually holds the key to a record.
Right. You shouldn't have to sue three different agencies to get one document.
Exactly. It ensures there's a clear line of accountability. Transferring physical custody doesn't transfer legal responsibility when it comes to the public's right to know. It keeps things anchored.
It really forces agencies to think about their own obligations, even when collaborating, doesn't it?
It does. If Agency A creates a record and shares it with Agency B for an investigation, Agency A still needs to be ready to produce it under the Public Records Act unless Agency A itself can assert a valid exemption under the law.
They can't just say, oh, Agency B has it now, ask them.
Nope. Or Agency B told us to redact it. That doesn't fly, according to Chandler. It likely encourages, or should encourage, better coordination and maybe clearer interagency agreements about handling records requests in joint operations.
Which brings us to a final thought for you, the listener. We see increasingly complex operations involving multiple government agencies, especially in big investigations. How does a ruling like Chandler push these agencies towards better coordination on public records?
Yeah, how do they ensure that the spirit of open government transparency is maintained, even when information is flowing between many different offices, maybe even different branches of government?
What challenges does this create for agencies trying to cooperate effectively while still meeting their individual transparency obligations? It definitely raises questions about how government shares and manages information, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Something to think about.